Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much. For joining me today, it's my pleasure. If you just tuned in, we're glad to have you here. And if you've been listening already, we think you're a very smart person. Rick Pinion is our guest. He's a very smart guy, too. Rick is the president of Pinion Financial Services, one of the world's leading experts on financial planning, because that's what he does. He is a certified financial planner. He's got, 20 or 30 letters behind his name identifying all the different financial planning credentials that he has. And he's our good friend, Rick. Welcome back to the show.
Good. Jim, they call that alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup. That's exactly right. And, of course, as you know, folks, as being a financial planner, he also has to deal with all the financial planner groupies that they have. And, Rick, do you need to give us your little soliloquy?
Yes, just like Hamlet.
There you go. Go ahead.
First of all, Jim, I just wanted to remind the listeners this morning that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through AIG Advisor Group, a registered broker-dealer, member NASD and SIPC. Pinion Financial Services and AIG Advisor Group are not directly related, and the listener should remember that there's risk involved in all investments, including the possible risk of loss of principal. Thank you very much.
And there you go, folks. That's in the interest of full disclosure. You're hearing that. And of course, that's one of the main reasons why financial planners have groupies. Right, Rick?
Yes, many of them.
Okay, today we're going to talk. We've talked about a lot of different topics, a lot of different elements of financial planning, one of which is insurance, life insurance. And today you and I are going to talk about how life insurance works, the different kinds of life insurance, and how to use these products, these insurance products, as tools in our financial planning effort. So go ahead, Rick.
You know, Jim, I was going to say, just to kind of get started this morning to let the listeners know, and of course everybody, I think, realizes this, that there's nothing that's more emotional in the financial planning world than when we start talking about life insurance.
Why is that?
Because I think it brings people face-to-face with the fact that we have our mortality tables out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we're not going to live forever. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. No one knows the time or the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of that, we're talking about a product that basically people take because they love their families or an individual, or they're trying to protect their business. So it's a very emotionally laden product.
Well, plus also the person who has to pay for it, mm-hmm, is coming out of their pocket. I mean, I've had life insurance for a long time, when I was a teenager, I had a little policy that my dad took out on me, and he made me pay for it. but since I was a teenager, I've been paying for life insurance. And so far, thank God, I haven't had to collect it. Nobody's had to collect it. But the thing is that it comes out of my pocket, but it's not going to benefit me.
Well, and that's true. And so it's an unselfish type of need. And the other thing you remember, too, is that if life insurance was free, people would have billions of dollars worth.
Right.
But you're right, Jim. It's the fact that there's a toll collector. There's someone that we have to pay for the privilege of having this particular protection, which makes it even more difficult for many people to pull money out of their pocket when it's not going to benefit them directly.
It does. There are people who have a hard time with that, and that's also where it gets emotional, too. But you know, Rick, and I know you'll agree with me about this, life insurance as a product is a pretty cool product that we have. I mean, the way that industry has evolved and developed their product, and the different products that they offer, the different variations of that product, and through actuarial tables, are able to provide us with coverage at a price that's pretty darn, you know, inexpensive when you consider what you're getting. I think the life insurance industry is one of the marvels of the marketplace. What do you think?
Yeah, when you think about it, you know, most costs have gone up on other types of insurance. For example, we've talked about health insurance before and how frightening it is that the rates keep going up and up and up. Life insurance is one of those rare types of coverage that the rates have actually come down.
Well, and that's partially because the actuarial tables that they've developed through trial and error, and I mean it's a science that they've gotten these things down to, they know how many 57-year-old white men are going to die this year. They already know that, folks, and it's a very interesting topic. When we come back, Rick's going to talk to us some more about how to use life insurance to our advantage in our small businesses. 20 till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah.
Otis Redding, ladies and gentlemen, the late great Otis Redding. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll use that site to your advantage. It's all free. Everything there is free except the books. And you've got thousands of articles, thousands of archives. You can subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes by email on Sunday. You can check out our blog, which you can come and get, or we'll send it to you. If either way, we've got the technology to help you do that. And I hope you use all those things to help you have the maximum opportunity to start, run, and grow your business. Rick Pinion helps us with that. He's deposited lots of wisdom with us over the last almost 8 years, I guess, about 8 years, I think. Rick, you've been a member of our Brain Trust, and we appreciate all the time and the information that you've given us. Rick, you may not know this, but there was a time in my very early stage of my career when I actually sold life insurance. Mm. Did you know that?
Well, let me put it this way, Jim. You mentioned a very important word, sold. Mm-hmm. Life insurance is normally not bought, but it's actually sold mm-hmm. because of the psychological barriers we talked about earlier.
Exactly. And I bring that up because it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I bring that up to say that in those days, there were basically three products that I had. I had a term policy. I had a non-participating permanent policy, which paid no dividends, and I had a participating permanent policy, which paid dividends, so to speak. So there were only three kinds of products. Today, in 2006, there are lots of insurance products, aren't there?
Yeah, in fact, isn't it amazing about how many new products are coming out and will continue to evolve as people figure out that life insurance can have some both protection as well as some investment features as well.
It's a great tool for a lot of different reasons, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, it's tax favored too. I mean, for example, you talked about some of the policies you used to sell. We know the cash values that build up in those policies are actually, we could say that they're triple tax free. Mm-hmm. Money builds up tax free. You could take them out tax free, and the death benefit is income.
The proceeds to your family or your beneficiaries is tax-free.
Isn't that amazing? Well,
yeah.
People don't realize that. When you hear the word triple tax-free, many people think of a municipal bond
mm-hmm.
instead of life insurance. But life mm-hmm. insurance has some marvelous features in it.
I'm sorry, Rick, go ahead. Finish your thought there.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, how have you used, give us some examples in your financial planning activities, how you've used insurance to help your clients.
Well, I think, you know, going back to the small business arena, there's always a need for key person coverage whenever we talk to a small business owner, because when you think about it, the driving force behind that business is the key people that actually run that business. If something happens to snuff them out tomorrow, that business will probably have to close its doors unless mm-hmm. we can retain and recruit someone to replace their services. And what better method to do that than insurance, which is going to be just like popcorn. In other words, it opens up immediately and cash comes out to replace the valuable services of that lost executive.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to do it. Another way that we've used insurance is to set up certain types of tax-favored retirement plans for individuals that are running businesses, where they're going to use the cash values in the insurance to fund their future retirement benefits. Gosh, you could go on and on. There's so many different examples of uses of life insurance.
Well, what is, you know, one of the things, back to the key man thing, the key person insurance coverage, that's a very important thing. And folks, term insurance today is whereas you say, Rick, I mean, liability insurance, after 9/11, liability insurance went through the roof. You could buy an umbrella liability insurance policy for your company dirt cheap. I mean, for a few hundred bucks, you could get $5 million in liability coverage. Now it's gone way up because as a result of 9/11, primarily, I think. I'm convinced of that. But term life insurance has not gone up that much, if at all. Maybe it's come down because of competition. And you can buy a lot of coverage for only a few hundred dollars a year.
Right. For two reasons. Number one is we talked earlier about the life, you know, the longevity. People are living longer. Second of all, many insurance companies have now automated their systems, you know, with the marvel of computers. So it takes less human beings than it used to. You know, a lot of times you walk into an insurance company today,
right,
you don't see a lot of people.
You don't see hundreds of people in booths across in cubicles like you used to.
Yeah, back in the 50s. I mean, just incredible. There was a person of every square inch.
That's right. I'll give you an example, just a kind of a personal example. I have two kinds of life insurance. I have permanent policies, and I have term policies. And the permanent policy is literally what it means, what it says by definition. I can keep that policy at that premium as long as I make the payments if I live to be 110. The term policy, well, eventually I won't be able to continue that because they only go typically through about 65, I think. But by the time I'm 65, I shouldn't need that as much anymore. But as my company requires me to be here, I want that extra coverage. And so I've added term insurance on top of my permanent insurance.
Right. And by the way, there's always this debate going on. And you mentioned it, Jim, about when you get old, you don't need insurance or don't want it. See, a lot of it depends on a person's needs as they age. For example, many people...
Well, if you remember, what I said was not as much. You know, I expect not to need as much insurance when I'm 70 as I did when I was 50. And that was the point. But we're going to let Rick clear that up and some other issues that he'll have for us on insurance right after these messages. This is life insurance we're talking about. It's 10 Till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rick Pinion, the president and founder of Pinion Financial Services. Rick, give us your website, please.
Yes, the website is www.pinionfinancial. Pinion Financial, by the way, is one word, pinionfinancial.com.
All right, check that out. And you got some... Do you have the actuarial tables, the mortality tables that you sent me up on the website?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm looking right at them, trying to find myself here.
So you can, folks, if you'd like to go see how much longer you have to live, you can go there and look at the mortality tables. These are the tables that the insurance companies use, and what it identifies, for example, is at your age group, how many will die this year per thousand. For example, if you are 29 years old, 1.15 29-year-olds per thousand will die this year. Is that right, Rick? Did I read that right?
But we don't know which ones.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And not to be crude and cruel about it, but the insurance companies, you know, the mortality tables don't care. That's not what they do. I was talking to a mortician one time, and he said, in my county, I know there will be 500 deaths this year. And so that's how they actually could do, you know, could project how much business they were going to get that year.
Yeah, I talked to one of my clients the other day. He's a mortician. I asked him how business was, and he said, dead as ever.
Oh, no, I can't believe you said that, Rick. I knew that was, I could see that one coming. Hey, Rick, but we don't like talking about this because it's death, and nobody likes that.
But, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because we all know that eventually we're going to wind up on these tables.
Yep.
By the way, the oldest age on the table is kind of interesting. Do you see that, Jim?
Yep, 79.
But on the next page, we go over to the oldest age on the table.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see it now. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we had a second page here. That's right. 120?
Must be somebody out there that lived to 120.
And it says here for in that year, it says 1,000 out of 1,000 will die if you're 120 that year.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I want to see what the world looks like when I'm 120, Rick.
Well, if you can still see, that's the thing.
Yeah, I don't think I want to know what the world looks like. Rick, what are some? Let's talk about some other uses of life insurance. I tell you what, before you do that, talk to us about the different kinds of products. Universal is a very handy insurance product, isn't it?
Yeah, and when I hear the word universal life, I'm thinking of the word flexibility. It has an adjustable, you know, death benefit. The cash values are pretty much predicated on current interest rates. Most universal life policies do pay a current interest rate as well as a guarantee. And by the way, there's pros and cons of each policy, isn't there? For example, universal life has advantages but also has disadvantages. If interest rates fall, as they did a few years ago, many people had universal life policies, found out the hard way that these were underfunded, and they had to cough up more money for the premium.
What I like about universal policies, Rick, is it literally separates what is the investment part and what is the death benefit part.
Yeah, we call that unbundled.
Uh-huh. So I like being able to see that. I like knowing what my premium is going for. You know, this percentage is going towards some kind of a future financial benefit for me as a person paying the premium, and how much of it is going towards the financial benefit for my beneficiaries in the event of my death.
Yeah, we call that being able to dissect the policy.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at a spreadsheet and saying, this is your mortality cost, this is your expenses, this is the current rate of interest, and this is what your death benefit will be. So, yeah, universal life is one of them. I think there's four basic types of insurance. Term insurance is what we talked about earlier in the show. It's kind of a limited period. It's a temporary benefit. We have the permanent insurance, which in contrast to term insurance is a whole life. It's a permanent plan. There's guarantees that are built into it. Then the universal life we just mentioned, you know, flexibility. And then the last one is some sort of a variable product where we introduce the idea of putting different investment vehicles in there, like, say, mutual funds.
Hmm.
So we've got four basic types of insurance.
And that's pretty new. That last one's pretty new, isn't it?
It's pretty nifty because that's a marriage, and this is where financial planning comes in. This is a marriage between the insurance industry and the investment community.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to combine the best of both worlds.
That's an area I've not looked into. Maybe I should. Rick, give us your website again, please.
Okay, it's www.pinionfinancial.com.
Pinionfinancial.com. Thank you, Rick, for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Very good.
Rick Pinion, ladies and gentlemen, he's our good friend. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.